Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Must be Sunday. Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, airing on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, and like a thousand other internet platforms. Straight up, this is the longest-running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I'm not only your host, I'm an award-winning writer and a four-time Golden Glove champion, so allegedly, supposedly, I should know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? I'm not the average boxing fan. Did you watch Jake Paul last night? Let's talk about that. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Straight up, I watched it for about seven rounds. And at that point in time, I realized it was a waste of my time and I had better off doing something else. Anything. I'm telling you, that's how bad it was. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. should be arrested for impersonating his father, having his father's name. His father must have been ashamed last night. I mean, come on, man. I know his father's beaten cocaine. He's beaten some guys in the ring. So he was a great fighter, no doubt about that. Probably the second greatest fighter in Mexican history, maybe if not the greatest, but his son has fallen so far from the tree. I mean, Jose Suleiman set him up with the WBC middleweight title. That was about 10, 12 years ago, right? Since then, it's been downhill. I mean, way downhill. And of course, tested positive twice for drugs. I mean, he's had a coke problem. He's been in and out of rehab. When he started this camp, he was like 220 pounds. I mean, he was fat as a pig. Stick a fork in Julio Jr., okay? And guess what? He made 190 pounds. That's what the weight limit was for this call. And here's a guy that was a former WBC 160-pound title holder. Think about that. From 160 to 190. Yeah. Anyway, bottom line is Jake Paul, not the greatest guy in the world. I don't think he could lick a stamp if he wet his tongue. He couldn't win the Golden Gloves here. I'm serious. I'm talking right now. He could not win the Golden Gloves here in the 80s. He just couldn't do it. Absolutely. He couldn't do any. I couldn't do it. I mean, wouldn't get out of the prelims. Wouldn't never make the finals. He can't fight. He just can't fight. All you folks out there saying, oh, Jake Paul this and Jake Paul that. Kiss my ass, Jake Paul. Basically, Jake Paul can't lick a stamp if you wet his tongue, okay? He just can't. You can't. I mean, he's terrible. I mean, skill-wise, and, you know, and I'm not trying to say he's done some performance-enhancing drugs, but he looks like he's done a share of Flintstone vitamins. At the end of the day, he can't fight a lick, and yet he's the most popular guy in the world of boxing. Talk to me about that. Straight up, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Listen, I was in traffic today. I was going to blame it on the impeccable one, but it wasn't. I can't blame it on him. So I called him like a couple of minutes before. I'm in traffic. I'm panicking. He tells me, chill out. I chilled. I'm here straight up. This is Ring Talk.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624. Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
He is the greatest fighter of all times next to me.
Okay. Maybe not the next greatest fighter, but pretty close. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk. The undisputed heavyweight champion of the radio is, that's right, straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. My name is Pedro Fernandez, of course. Welcome back to the show. If you're joining us for the first time, let me welcome you to the longest running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I've been doing this for 4 decades. Believe it or not, I started this when I was 4 years old, of course. You don't believe that? Neither do I. Bottom line is, 4 decades of doing radio, I'm pretty good at this. I think if you want to join me on the toll-free, you can. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Now, let's talk about, Friday night. That was a little weird. I mean, for a Friday night pay-per-view card, of course, featuring Deontay Wilder, the bronze bomber, the 2008 Olympic bronze medalist, at one point in time, the WBC heavyweight title holder, a fierce puncher, was he like 44 and four now with like 42 knockouts, something like that. I mean, the guy can crack, there's no doubt about, or he could crack at one point in time, but he took on a cab driver. Take that back. I think the guy's not even a cab driver. He's an Uber driver. What does that mean? I don't know. Bottom line is Tyrell Anthony Hearn didn't come to win. He'd been stopped 3 or 4 times before this fight. Of course, he came in at 24-5. You know, he just got licked like a stamp. He just did. And it wasn't that Deontay Wilder was very good. Deontay Wilder looked terrible. He looked like an old bus driver. Imagine, if you remember the Honeymooners TV, probably that's before your time, but the Honeymooners TV show with Ralph Cramden, those guys, imagine a black Ralph Cramden. That's the sort of look what Deontay Wilder looked like. He's like 39 going on 40 or going on 90, but the bottom line is he's old. And once you get old and he's got more money than the sucker could ever spend, I don't get it. This is what I don't get. Once you've got fame and fortune, that's what boxing's all about. So you take your fame and fortune and you walk away while you can still count your money. That's what you got to do. And these guys don't want to do that. I'm telling you, Deontay Wilder must have made $35, $40 million. And that may be on the low ball. I may be lowballing him right there. But the bottom line is he's made a lot of money. He's got more money than he ever spent in his life, his kids could ever spend, his grandkids could ever spend. I mean, that family's set for like 4 or 5 generations, if not more, if they invest in the forever, if they invest their money right. But the bottom line is, as far as a boxing ring is concerned, there's nothing left for him to get out of it. The investment is over. What I'm trying to say is we're not paying you any interest anymore, Deontay. I mean, I'm talking about money-wise. You know, you put your money in the bank, guess what? It's not worth anything. Your stock is almost valueless. And, of course, the other night did nothing to improve your impression on boxing fans around the world. It just didn't. Of course, it was a stoppage, but it was one of those deals where, you know, you say to yourself, man, why even go through this? But let me tell you, that wasn't nearly as bad as the as the undercard. The undercard was terrible. Let me put it to you this way. Friday night was so bad, I think Gabe Rosado was a color commentator, and he kept saying the same thing over and over again. Well, I like this guy's defense, or I like this. He couldn't say anything. He had no color. There was no color commentary. I remember one time when I was doing a Virgil Hill fight in North Dakota, I came out, I was doing like Prime Cable, something like that. But the bottom line is, I said on the air, you guys really don't need to pay me. And the guy says, why is that? I said, because there's no color in this fight. I'm a color commentator. There's no color here. I can't draw any color out of this. Well, Gabe Rosado didn't know how to draw any color out of it. He had no boxing acumen. This was the worst lighting. I mean, Contreras, I can't think of his first name is right now, but he was a ring announcer, and he didn't have a timekeeper working with him in the bell. I mean, you got to have the bell working hand-in-hand with the ring announcer. If it doesn't, you're flat. Even if you're Michael Buffer or Jimmy Lennon Jr., or Pedro Fernandez, who choked one time on ESPN and called Darnell Nicholson. Anyway, I called him the wrong name. And imagine that, introducing the guy on live national television and like botching his last name. I just botched his last name. Deverell Williamson or something Davril. That's why I said Davril. And it was Deverell. And the guy's like a 6'5" black guy. He's not the guy to piss off, especially on national TV. He's about to fight. You know what I'm saying? But he walked across the ring and corrected me. That was pretty crazy. Anyway, bottom line is Deontay Wilder should just fade away. He just give away. He can't lick anybody. Of course, the big Asian, the shot Asian, I'm talking about Mr. Zhang, Double Z, he beat him like a stamp. I mean, stopped him. I mean, he's been stopped. Why even fight anymore? I just don't get it. Why even fight anymore? Now, let's get to the undercard. Oh, man. Deion Williamson is 21-1 now. He beat a guy that was 13-1 named Devontae Williams. That was a bit of a, I guess it was probably one of the more competitive fights on the card, even though it stops in the fourth round. Gustavo Trujillo stopped Lafif Coyote. That was some weird spit. When I say spit on the show, I mean spit with an H. I'm telling you, it was a TKO ending in six. They were heavyweights, and it was just weird stuff. I mean, it was like, I don't know. I mean, Latif, the Coyote, probably they kept saying Coyote, like, you know, like the Coyote guy. But the bottom line is, he fought like, I don't know. I can't describe it. He was so discombobulated all the time. He didn't look like he knew where he was. Like he was supposedly in another state somewhere. I'm telling you, kid you not. He wasn't there physically, mentally, and the fact that it took Trujillo that long to take him out. I think Trujillo is something like a Cuban national or something like some Cuban superstar. The rest of the card absolutely sucked. I mean, it was absolutely terrible. One card, get this, one fight. They had a guy going in against a guy that was 11-0, and he was taking on a guy that was 3-14. Three wins and 14 losses. And the one guy's 11-0. Who do you think's going to win? And guess what? They weren't even slick enough. Pedro would have pulled this off. This is what happens when you have boxing acumen. Okay? I would have introduced a fight like this. I would have said to him, Joe Blow, a record of a veteran of 17 fights with 3 knockouts or something like that. You don't put his record out there at 3-14 or something like that, or 3-11. I mean, you just don't do that. It makes the crowd look, oh, man, this is a mismatch. Yeah, bottom line is it was a mismatch. So that wasn't nearly as bad as the broadcasting. Lupe Contreras was the ring announcer. I mean, he just got dogged by the fact he had no lighting. I mean, they didn't put a spotlight on him. It was the arena was dark. It was like, how could I put this? Ira Glass, former Don King Productions producer extraordinaire and all that good stuff. Bottom line is, we talked on the phone yesterday, and he said it was like the cheapest broadcast he'd ever seen in his life. The cheapest, worst, I mean, most, I put it this way, it made public access TV look like NBC. I kid, like Wide World of Sports back in the day. I mean, that's the difference, and it's just unbelievable. Hey, and get this. It was supposed to be on pay-per-view, and so a guy named The Bold Truth had this on a YouTube channel. And he's a black guy. He's on a YouTube channel. He's got this going on. And he's coming on between rounds and threatening people with the F-bombs and this. And if you don't subscribe, I'm going to cut off your audio and all kinds. I mean, it was hysterical. This guy's pirating a fight. It was impeccable. And he's pirating a fight with like 18,000 people watching. And the fight's supposed to be on pay-per-view. I thought that was some type of copyright law. You know, I just did. I mean, common sense tells me that's some type of copyright. But he's threatening people. If you don't subscribe to my page, I'm cutting off the volume of this. It was pretty hysterical anyway. I listened to that for a little time before I ended up taking the binoculars and watching through somebody else's window, meaning I've got a fire stick. Anyway, that fight card was absolutely terrible. And then we go to last night. And, of course, last night was, even worse. It just was. I mean, Gilberto Ramirez, he should be, like, arrested for impersonating a fighter, per se, because now he's fighting a cruiserweight, 200 pounds. He was a fat, light heavyweight to begin with. They call him Zerto. I call him Z for nothing. Zero. That's what he should be called, Zero. Now, 48-1 was a winner, of course, over Yanel Dorikos. Dorikos came in at 27-2, 27-1. Now he's 27-2. But the bottom line is, I thought, you know, this guy had the physical torso to fight a little bit, and yet he didn't want to, and they took away a point and all that kind of good stuff. Of course, the scores were 117-110, 115-112, and 115-112. One of our favorite judges, Steve Weissel, had a 115-112. I got to bring up Steve Weissel. Speaking of Steve Weissel and bad judges, oh, I didn't mention him with bad judges. Yeah, you know, okay. David Sutherland was working on Friday night and in Wichita, Kansas, and that was pretty sad seeing the fact that Wichita is so bad. Listen, I've been to Kansas one time. You never want to go to Kansas. I'm sorry, people. I'm probably gonna get a sale by people that live and/or the only thing that good ever came out of Kansas was that movie, the Wizard of Oz. That's probably about it. I mean, sorry. Let's go to the Bronx before I get any more trouble and bring in Tommy D. So what's up, Tommy D?
We're not in Kansas anymore?
It's flat. It's flat. I couldn't believe how flat it was. I mean, I was there. I was going to myself, man, where's the hills? There were no hills. It was like, I don't know. It was just flat. That's all I remember. Flat like some of my girlfriends.
Oh, my God.
What's the matter, man?
Flat like some of your girlfriends.
Oh, well, I'm just telling you. Just speaking of girlfriends, you know, last night Julio Cesar Chavez didn't have his breast, but he may as well have.
He may have. He didn't want to throw a punch. He waited to the ninth round to throw a punch.
Did he throw one? This I turned it off in the eighth round. I said to myself, you can't torture me anymore to watch this. I just couldn't watch it anymore. Excuse me.
It was embarrassing.
Yeah, I came back with the scores. Listen, I mean. Jake Paul is very, 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 very limited. Extremely limited. I thought he was good for boxing at one point in time. Now it's starting to wear on me a little bit, the fact that he can be called so-called the face of boxing and draw millions of people to watch him. And I don't know what they're – I mean, is he built like John Holmes in the porn world? Is there some secret to him or something like that?
I don't know, but he has a lot of money, so he can do whatever he wants, and he could promote whatever.
How did he get the money?
Pay.
He got the money being a social media star.
Yeah,
I guess Tommy D. The impeccable one shaking his head in the other room. Yeah,
yeah, content creator. I guess that's how he made his money, millions and millions of dollars.
Man, all right. Listen, I'm not going to get it. Anyway, it was pretty bad. Listen, let's talk about both Friday night and Saturday night as far as the fight cards were concerned. For two nights in a row, you can't get much worse for that than two nights in a row, can you? I mean, come on, think about it.
No, yeah, I mean, it wasn't really all that. There were some good fights on the undercards.
Floyd Schofield stepped out.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great performance. If nobody saw that coming, I mean, I actually predicted. I thought he would win in the third round. I just had a feeling he was going to run over this guy. So I picked him to win in the third round.
Do you know why you figured he could run over this guy? Because the guy's got 8 knockouts in like 90 fights.
Yeah, and Farmer
can't punch, man. When you can't punch, yeah. You know, I mean, you say we'll bring this. I'm repeating myself over and over again. But the bottom line is, you know, sort of like bringing a knife to a gunfight. I mean, if you can't punch, you can't punch. But Floyd Schofield is ready to shine, 135 pounds. Of course, he may be the guy. Of course, I'm talking about Shakur Stevenson being the real guy at 135. Anyway, speaking of Shakur, I understand we have the Peckham one has told me we have landed an interview with him, and we're going to tape it now Friday of next week. So of this upcoming week, so we'll be able to play it next week. Of course, I'm talking about the man that's, you know, I mean, he's taking on Williams Zepeda. Zepeda's a pretty tough guy, but if his hands are together, and of course he's had some hand problems, he had surgery, came back and looked pretty good in his last fight as far as fighting. And Josh Pauly was very, very, very limited. In fact, you know, Josh Pauly like the worst opponent they could ever pick? I mean, Josh had heart, but outside of heart, what did he have? Zilch.
Nothing. I mean, I heard he's a good, what is he, like a construction worker?
He's a carpenter
or something
like that. Carpenter. Okay. He's a carpet layer. He's laying carpet all the time.
Yeah, so he's not that limited. He could give you a good carpet or fix your floors or something.
And he said the Sheik gave him $400,000 or $500,000. That ain't bad considering the fact that Martin Bacoli went over there and only got like $500,000 He was a heavyweight. That was a shame, man. If they were gonna pit me off, if the Saudi Arabians were gonna pit me off, they would have to pay me like a good hoe.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You know, I mean,
but Coley, that was shameful what they did to him.
What he did to the boxing world, he came in like, didn't he come in like over 300 pounds?
Yeah, over 300 pounds, sloppy.
That's an understatement, without a doubt. Hey, listen, we've got to roll a little break, right? Let's roll a little break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline. Back with the man that calls the shots on Sunday, the Sunday shot caller, Mr. Tommy D, who's got a birthday coming up, I believe. In fact, lots of birthdays in the family there. We'll talk about that and more later on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both, airline and hotel, with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandido. I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do.
That is the national anthem. Current national anthem, not for the Mexicans in general, but for the Julio Cesar Chavez family. The bottom line is he was the Frito Bandido last night. He came and stole the money because he didn't fight. He didn't try. I don't know if he trained. I mean, Tommy D said he threw some punches in the ninth and the tenth round. I didn't wait around that long. Bottom line is it was the most nauseating event I think I've ever seen in a long, long time. It was almost as bad as a broadcast Friday night. Is that being fair?
I think you are more than fair.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. And here's what's up. And the Mexicans didn't turn on him. They should have been booing his ass about the third or fourth round. I mean, they should have put some heat on him, man.
I think they started booing him after the fight when he started talking. But it was. I mean, the Chavez family should be very embarrassed and ashamed. I mean, I don't know what his father thinks, but, you know, his father would have never put up a performance like that. In fact, if his father was fighting last night at his age that he is now, he would have put up a better performance.
Well, we do have a short interview with Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., can you tell us what happened last night?
Oh, man. Oh,
okay. That was a snorting effect. I guess he's got some nose problems, much like, you know, who was that? What's his name? DeBuff. DeBuff, the top-ranked guy, DeBuff. Of course, Todd DeBuff, the top-ranked vice president. He had some nose problems on an HBO broadcast. I sat ringside. I think I grabbed him grabbing his nose like 35 or 40 times during a round.
Jesus.
His nose was itching. That's all. I'm not implying anything at all. Okay, I'm just saying he had an itchy nose.
Or maybe allergies.
Allergies. Inside of an arena, allergies. With the air conditioner going with allergies. Yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, got to give it to him. All right. So we went from last night being absolutely terrible. I mean, you know, it just was. And got to give Floyd Schofield credit because he did, like, shine on the card. Everybody else sort of sucked. So I take it back. Curio looked good.
Curio looked good, and Julian Rodriguez was a big upset of the night.
Yeah, that's right. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, he fought this guy, Avius Griffin, who was undefeated, 17-0. I believe he had 16 KOs. You know, this guy came in as a monster. There was a lot of talk at the press conference. Jake Paul was talking trash too, defending his fighter because he just acquired him with MVP. And Julian went in there and, you know, it was a good fight. I thought it was a good competitive fight. And I thought both guys needed the last round to win. And he closed the show. He got dropped earlier. And then he came and he stopped Griffin with 5 seconds left in the last round. I thought that was the best fight of the night.
You know, in the 1990s, I was the ring announcer, per se, for Albuquerque, New Mexico. I did some of the Tapia fights. And I did a lot of Holly Holmes fights. Of course, Holly Holmes made her mark both in boxing and MMA, of course, beating Ronda Rousey, licking her like a stamp. I shouldn't put it to that when there's two women involved. But the bottom line is, she fought last night on an undercard, and she won a 10-round decision over a girl by the name of Yolanda Guadalupe Vega Ochoa. Bottom line is, Holly Holmes, 43 years old, man. What has she got to prove? What is she? Is she high? Is she not? I mean,
I don't know. I mean, she's been at it a long time. When she was boxing, then went to MMA, and now boxing again. I don't know, but if promoters or people are paying her money to fight and she wants to take it, then why not, I guess? But she was victorious, I believe, in that fight.
Yeah, 190 across the board, I mean, 10 rounds is it.
Yeah, but she's always going to be well known for being the first one to annihilate Ronda Rousey, which I did predict back then.
Went down to Australia and did it in front of a unbelievably packed arena.
Yeah. So credit to her, you know. So she that to me is what she's always going to be remembered for, kicking Ronda Rousey right in the face.
Okay.
Right before she stopped.
Thanks a lot, Tommy. You kicking her right in the face before she stopped. All right, let's talk about getting kicked in the face last Friday night. The Deontay Wilder fight. It was sort of like getting kicked in the face if you were a boxing fan, because you're watching a guy that has his skills have diminished to the point where it's almost shameful.
Yeah, he was trying to show a little bit more boxing. I guess maybe something he's working on. I mean, he did work the jab pretty well. I thought he did well. He threw the jab in three different ways, I thought. You know, it was kind of stiff jab, you know, a fling jab, you know. I thought he did well. I mean, I think he would have done well if he would have stopped him earlier. But you know what? The guy's been out of the ring for over a year. So, you know, he got some rounds in. You know, I'm not sure why the ref stopped the fight.
He stopped it because it was such a mismatch. I mean, anyway, that fight was terrible. I mean, just what I'm saying is that boxing sort of like slid to the point where these fights are being accepted on TV, like the Chavez and Jake Paul thing last night. Most people watched it. Okay, I couldn't stomach it after like the seventh or eighth round, but the bottom line is most people watched it. The guy has no talent. Why are they watching it? Why did we watch it?
I guess we were intrigued to see how he does after a year layoff for a guy that kind of retired and coming back.
He's about Jake Paul.
Oh, Jake. Why do we watch it? I don't know. I do not know.
Do you think we all need to go see Sigmund Freud?
No.
I mean, is it time to get therapy? I mean, let me tell you, if we've stooped to the point where we're watching the trash we watched last night, where we're stooping to that point as boxing fans, I mean, we've all but stepped off the cliff.
No, you're right. I agree. But sometimes, you know, what Jake Paul has done, he's usually put, you know, decent undercards together where people do come, in fact, to see the undercard. He used Amanda Serrano a bunch of times on his undercard.
He made her some money.
Hey,
he made her a lot of money.
He made her a lot of money. And let me tell you, the undercard wasn't bad. It was co-promoted with De La Hoya and Golden Boy. You know, they had a bunch of Golden Boy fighters on the card, which all did well. So, I mean, you know, maybe they're not really tuning in to see what Jake Paul's going to do. They're pretty much, you know, looking at some of the undercard fights.
You know what? That was a pretty political. The impeccable was the other room saying, yeah, we're both sort of shrugging our shoulders here for that explanation there. Yeah, okay.
Was it a good effort?
No, Tommy D's being political here. There's no doubt about it. He's being political. But back to Wilder for a second. 2008 Olympic bronze medalist. I mean, he's got more money than the sucker could ever spend. And I hate to probably steal that from a rap line. He's 39 years old going on 90.
Yeah, I don't understand.
No, he's still fighting. I'm trying to pry out of you is that you know this dude, you've been around this dude, and you're not giving me any tea.
But I don't get it. I don't know. I don't know why he feels the need that he should still continue to fight. It's like you said, he doesn't need the money. He's great, and his kids are great, and his grandkids will be great, and his great great grandkids will be great. So
listen,
I mean,
he can throw money at our great great grandkids and still have money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not the kind of money the impeccable one has, though. Straight, he lives in Marin. Straight up, you are tuned. Marin, you ever heard of Marin County? I kid you not. It's like the unbelievable paradise. There's no doubt about that. That in Columbia. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More with Sir Thomas Dillamuth after the break. You're tuned to Sports Byline.
Progressive knows road trips without your pet can be tough.
Hi, this is Next Stop Dog Boarding.
Hi, it's Scott again. How's Squeaks doing? You can tell if he's stressed by his eyebrows. Oh, and his breathing should sound like this.
Scott, Squeaks is exactly the same as last time you called.
Okay, let's talk in 20 to see if anything's changed.
With Progressive, your pet is covered up to $1,000 in vet bills in case of a car accident. So next time, you can take your pet with you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Coverage for dogs and cats is included with the purchase of collision coverage and subject to policy terms.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
If you've got a property that you've been trying to sell and you've tried almost everything, I want to tell you about something that you haven't tried yet. You're going to think this offer is too good to be true, but it's not. Thousands of customers have sold their homes in any condition with Need to Sell My Home. This is a real opportunity from a highly rated company that buys homes all over the country. Did you know it's possible to sell your home right over the phone with no real estate commissions and no pesky open houses? Plus, every offer is a cash offer with no mortgage holdups. To find out how much you can sell your home or property for, call now. Take 5 minutes of your time and call for this 100% free quote to sell your home.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
Testing, testing.
We are live from Chick-fil-A.
This is Grant.
And this is Laura.
And a little thing we love about the Chick-fil-A Smokehouse Barbecue Bacon Sandwich is that sweet bun.
And that chicken filet was perfectly crispy and soft at the same time.
And that Smokehouse Barbecue sauce, it's a lot of fun. And the brown sugar bacon definitely had a little bit more pizzazz. Also, the Mac, one of the all-time greats. Man, I'm getting hungry.
Order the Smokehouse Barbecue Bacon Sandwich and our Coca-Cola on the Chick-fil-A app for a limited time. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The greatest band of all time, the Fab Four. That's right, John, Paul, George, and Ringo. I'm talking about the Beatles. It is happy birthday time. That's right. Tommy Dees or Thomas Dillamuth, the entire family's got some birthdays coming up. When's yours?
Well, mine is July 2nd.
July 2nd, so we'll wish you happy birthday in advance. And your wife's having a birthday this week, too? You guys are all, like, born about the same time or what?
Yeah, my wife and my son share a birthday that was it happened this past Tuesday, June 24th.
June 24th. So anyway, interesting. Mother and son, the same birth date?
Yep, same birthday. Pretty funny story, too, because my wife was scheduled to get a C-section on June 23rd, the day before, because my son was breached. So he was turned, the opposite way. So they had to do a C-section. So we didn't know the sex of the baby until June 23rd. So we went in June 23rd, the night before. She couldn't eat anything. She had, keep an empty stomach up until, the next morning, which was a Thursday. And so we get there, and there's an emergency after emergency C-sections or something right going ahead of her. So it hit like maybe 11, 12 o'clock. They come out. They check her. The baby's healthy. We found out then my son, was a boy. And they said,
Most sons healthy. Are, but Tommy D, most sons are boys. Just want to let you know.
Oh, yeah. That is true. So then they tell her everything is good. We had these emergencies. We don't want to delay any longer. So come back tomorrow. Was upset. She was upset because she didn't want to share her birthday with him because she didn't, because she would think everybody would forget her birthday and it'll be all about my son. And, she's kind of right. So, so that's all what happened. She came back the next day and the rest is history.
Okay. Happy birthday to the three of you. I'm looking at Deontay Wilder's resume here. And I'm going back to Chris Areola, that was in 2016, Gerald Washington, Bermain Stiverne, Luis Ortiz, the first time, Tyson Fury, the draw in 12 rounds, that was in 2018, Dominic Brazil, Luis Ortiz again, then he loses to Tyson Fury two fights in a row, comes back, beats Robert Helenas, loses to Joseph Parker and Zil Zhang, comes back and beats Tyrell Anthony Herndon. Now, when I went through that entire that list of Deontay Wilder opponents there's not one of them that would even get close to the Hall of Fame list or could get into the Hall of Fame unless they bought a ticket outside of Tyson Fury.
Yeah, you're right. I'm trying to think. I'm looking. Yeah, none of those guys are Hall of Fame. They were good challengers.
None of those guys are any good. I mean, he beat Owen Beck. Did I tell you the story about Owen Beck?
No.
Listen, his mother was talking all kinds of smack to Don King. We were at a fight, and I think we're in St. Louis. We're going to do the Zab Judah Corey Spinks fight, and that's when they pulled some guns on me there in East St. Louis. That was a little bit of a story into itself. Anyway, but Owen Beck, his mother was his manager. She was telling Don King, "You can't treat me like no blah blah the N word blah 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 blah," and she's screaming at him, and she's embarrassing Don King at the weigh-in. You hear what I'm saying? Not a good thing. Trying to shake him down for more money out in front of everybody. You don't shake Don King down in public like that. Anyway, that was the end of Owen Beck. I mean, he lost that night, and basically he finished 29-13, got stopped 10 times. Bottom line is, his mother being his manager was not the smartest thing that young man ever did.
He lost to Monty Barrett, I think it was.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Monty Barrett wasn't a bad fighter. Not really. Close to being top 10, but not really top 10, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, he was an average contender for a while, and that was about it.
Okay, so what's the story on Mbili, you know I'm trying to say his name.
Mbili, yeah. I think he's pretty good. I think he's, I just think that he's in the wrong division because he's probably not going to get a title shot as long as Canelo.
No, he has it. Time out. He has the title. Don't you know that? He is now the interim WBC 168-pound champion. in a bid in a clash for the vacant WBC interim title. It was world in Quebec City. Billy drops this guy's Masek Selecki, now 33-4 with 13 KOs. Mbili, Christian Mbili, now 29-24 KOs. Anyway, bottom line is the other guy couldn't fight all that much, but this is for the he's a world champion now.
But he's an interim. What does that mean?
That means you have to pay sanctions if he's the WBC, just like you would if you were a champion, world champion, and you get to carry around a belt.
But you're not recognized as the champion, though.
In his own personal mind, probably that's all that matters.
I mean, he's
probably going to beat on his chest for Canelo too. And of course, that we saw how much success David Benavidez had doing that.
Yeah, and the same. Well, we saw that Barboza won an interim title or mandatory, whatever it was, when he beat Jack Catterall. Like, it was a Jack Catterall, and then he came and he got a shot and he lost. You know, so I mean, it's not, you're not the champion until you are declared the champion, in my opinion.
Really? Let's see what Paulie has to say.
Basically, this is the most outright duck, the biggest, most blatant duck in the history of boxing. You will not find a more blatant duck of a top contender if you search with your microscope through the history of boxing, you will never find a more outright duck than what Canelo has done with David Benavidez.
Paulie Malignaggi, tell him like it is there, Tommy D?
He's 1,000% correct.
Okay, so anyway, that's the 168-pound championship. Now, that I wanted to inform you that the interim title is now full. Also, get this. You're not going to believe this, but the WBC 175-pound crown, I think, the cruiserweight crown was vacant as well. I mean, you know, these interim titles, I thought that the Association of Boxing Commissions, at one point in time, about 3 or 4 years ago, they threatened the WBA. The world of Bunko and Anarchy. And they said, listen, if you guys have interim champions, we're going to try to take you off of boxrec.com. And so they sort of backed down for a little bit. And then, you know, you see what happens. Nothing.
Yeah. Let me ask a question. So I know when you're a champion in one of the sanctioned bodies, you can't be ranked in another sanctioned body. So if you're an interim champion, can you still be ranked in another body?
That automatically strips you of the other rankings as well. So it's sort of like the WBC is holding you hostage.
Yeah, and that's not cool. That's why I don't like it. I don't like these interim titles, you know. So, and it's like you're paying to have a, you know, imaginary belt with the hopes of fighting for the world title one day. You know.
Yeah, but you can sort of gloss it over and tell your kids and this kind of stuff. Yeah, I was a champion when they hear it on TV. The new WBC interim, whether it's interim or not, they're saying they're affixing a title to this guy and they're making him look. They're adding legitimacy to him. Feel me? Or trying to?
Yeah, no, I get it, and that's a good point. You know, they're gonna look back and, you know, that announcement does hold a little bit of weight. You know, especially to a child or, you know, to a casual. But, you know, I'm just saying, for us that's been watching boxing for many, many years, it's just silly. It's just another added title, you know, mixed up with, you know, the
I'm not done with interim titles. I'm not done. Uh-oh. The WBC the WBC number one ranked cruiserweight, Michael Chizelak, something like that, 28-2, 22 KOs, scored a brutal fourth round TKO over former world champion, I think it's a middleweight or super middleweight, light heavy maybe, Jean Pascal of Canada, 37-9, now 29 KOs, to claim the WBC interim title.
Jesus.
That was Saturday night in Quebec, Canada. Holy cow. Afterwards, a 42-year-old Pascal indicated that would be his last fight. No, really?
Yeah, it should have been his last fight. I think he's like in his 40s.
He's 42.
Yeah.
And he's got miles on him. It wasn't like he was 42 and like skated through life. You know what I'm trying to say? I mean, it just didn't happen that way. Okay, Zerto Ramirez, a fat, light heavyweight.
He didn't look. He looked out of shape. But the other guy didn't look like he wanted to fight after a few rounds.
The other guy, the Cuban, looked like he had some skill, didn't he?
He did in the beginning. I actually picked that as an upset. So, I mean, he made me look bad. And then I don't know what happened. He didn't know what to do. He kept low blowing. He kept fixing his cup like every 30 seconds of every round. It was just weird. Like,
he had jock itch.
He must have. It was just weird to watch.
You know, I couldn't figure. I didn't know what he was trying. I didn't know what he was trying to do. Whether he was trying to get himself disqualified, like Andrew Gallada versus Riddick Bowe. I didn't know. I mean, what was going on there?
I have no idea. And he had some success early on. I thought the first few rounds, you know, he was landing pretty good. Zerto didn't look too good in those first early rounds. You know, I just don't know. I never know what these guys, what it goes through these guys' heads, you know?
So Zerto is now 48-1. Uniel Dorticos now drops to 27-3, 25 KOs. You know, there was a Cuban, I can't remember who it was, on the Friday night card. He was the UFC, or no, he's the bare knuckle champion as the bare knuckle association, whatever they want to call themselves. But he's like 7-0 with 6 knockouts in that. And then he was like 6-0 with like 5 knockouts the other night. And he came in, and he sucked. He didn't look, I mean, well, what is it with people from Cuba? I'm going to generalize people in there, but people from Cuba and Ghana seem to not have the fire when they get to, when you need the fire, it ain't there. What's up with that? Is it hereditary with Cubans and people from Ghana?
I don't know. This is like, it's not always been like this.
But am I seeing things, or can you see what I'm saying?
I mean, the last couple have not looked good. I mean, you had the Cuban that fought Canelo a few weeks ago that was, you know, did nothing. You know,
don't be dogging William Skull, because Canelo got some skull that night, and that's exactly what he was supposed to get, skull.
And then you had the guy, Robesi, who I was high on. He quit in a fight, you know, because I guess he couldn't deal, you know, the guy was throwing elbows, you know, so. And Robesi, you know, I thought he was a great talent. I still do think he's a good talent, so I don't know. I don't know what's up with the Cuban fighters as of late.
Okay, fighter of the month for the month of June, Junto Nakatani, 31-0, 24 KOs. Of course, he made the fellow Japanese guy, Ryo Nishida, quit like, barking after 10-0. Bottom line is he didn't make it to 11-0. Now he's 10-1. But the bottom line is this is a super matchup next year with the Noah Noya. I mean, that's the super matchup. Tommy D, you got to get, come here to San Francisco with a private jet, pick me and the Apeka one up, and take us over to Japan.
I wish I could do that.
Wait. It's not like you ain't got the money or the jet, man. Come on, man. You're chauffeured around every day.
No, that is not true.
No. You're chauffeured around every day. Tommy D, you feel you don't even need a car. You can people chauffeur you around. People drive you everywhere, correct?
No comment.
No comment. See that, folks? He's got his own limo. He's got his own limo. I mean, in fact, he's got, you know, I remember I sent him a limo.
He did.
Anyway,
I still have it.
You still have it. Listen, wish everybody in the family a great weekend. Of course, happy birthday to you upcoming in the second. We wish you the very best. You've been a class act. You've been with me now a couple of years, and I can't thank you enough for your time. And, of course, thanking you, I got to thank the wife as well, the impeccable one, the agent, because if I don't, I'll be getting nasty texts.
Well, I thank you, Pedro, and I'm going to leave you with this because it was just announced today, so you can hold that and take it with you the next segment. But your favorite fighter in the world has just signed, and they just announced he'll be fighting Brian Norman in November in Riyadh season. Devin Haney versus Brian Norman Jr. for the welterweight title in November.
Oh, okay, hold on. Are they going to make that in the 14-foot ring?
I don't know.
Wasn't the Sheik Turkey Jerky talking about a 14-foot ring for William Zepeda and Shakur Stevenson?
He should. He did say that. We'll see if that really happens in July 12th. But yeah, man, that would be great if it was in a 14-foot ring.
Straight up. There's always us spectators saying that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Tommy D, have a great weekend again. Happy birthday, my brother.
Thank you, Pedro. Appreciate you.
The great Sir Thomas Dillamuth. On Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a production of Sports Byline.
Special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations, not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help struggling taxpayers like you. The COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers, and we have the inside track.
Call now, and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. Get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039.
All aboard!
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. That's 800-401-5163.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Can I just
go for
give
it?
You one postscript. After that fight, I thought of something the great sports writer Red Smith once wrote. If you want to find out who won a close fight, ask a 9-year-old kid.
I'm going to repeat this from yesterday, but Frank 1961 said this to me. A boxing referee was sucker punched and swarmed by attackers inside a ring in a wild post-bout scene in the Dominican Republic. Really? The chaos unfolded just after referee Smaylon Valdez raised the hand of boxer Norberto Jimenez at the Juan Pablo Duarte Olympic Center in Santo Domingo. A man who appeared upset by the decision approached the referee in the ring before unleashing a vicious sucker punch, sending the referee staggering backwards. Give him an 8 count. Valdez, the referee, attempted to leave the ring when a second person swung at him, leading several more men to surround the referee and kick his ass. I mean, this is pretty tough. That's terrible. Anyway, a batter Valdez eventually fell through the ring ropes like Joe Louis against Rocky Marciano back in 1951 and crashed onto the floor where the assault continued. There's a video of it that Frank 1961 sent me. That's pretty scary. According to our Dominican Dace, I'm talking about Socrates Palmer, boxing's PhD, he told me yesterday that the wrong guy won. In other words, when the wrong guy wins, so you beat up the referee. I've never heard of that. I mean, there have been times when the referees pull some smack and like favored one guy and like been obvious about it and this thing, and you like a smell fix or fixing. Listen, speaking of fix, boxing is rarely fixed, but it's often arranged. You understand that, impeccable one? All right, that's the best way to put it. I mean, people say to me, oh man, boxing, no, boxing is rarely fixed. They don't have to fix it. They can arrange it. I mean, they can just arrange it. And they don't need to put me in against a guy that with world-class skills and who's going to win. The other guy is going to kick my ass, right? Well, that's not too hard to figure out in the world of professional boxing. Of course, coming up July 12th, man, take that back, July 19th. Of course, Oleg Usyk and Danny Dubois for the undisputed heavyweight title. Manny Pacquiao going against Mario Barrios. Of course, that was for the WBC 147-pound championship. And why the other guys aren't getting a cut of the check, I have no idea. In other words, 12 guys are being denied a title shot to give 46-year-old Manny Pacquiao, who lost his last fight, a title shot. None of those guys are being compensated. they don't have a good lawyer. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Stay tuned for hour number two coming up after the news here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, and, of course, Twitch.tv. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a production of Sports Byline.
Shorts. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. The latest in college football action as Texas State is finalizing the final steps of accepting an invitation to the Pac-12. That move for Texas State from the Sun Belt to the Pac-12 is expected to be finalized soon and will happen for the 2026-27 school year for all their sports. On the Major League Baseball scoreboard, Athletics blank against the Tigers. Tigers win at home 8-0. Blue Jays on the road get a big W over the Guardians 6-0. Twins putting up some big numbers at home over the Mariners 10-1. Astros take the W by 1 over the Phillies 2-1. Rays beat the Royals 4-0. Cubs win over the Cardinals 3-0. Dodgers on the road take it. Come out on top over the Rockies 3-1. Marlins put up a big number against the Giants, winning 12-5. And the Braves blank on the road against the Mets. Mets come out on top at home W 4-0. A pair of games on the WNBA scoreboard. The Sparks on the road defeat the Fever 85-75. And the Mystics get a win over the Aces 94-83. To stay up to date on all things sports and for more sports content, make sure you're following at Sports Overnight America on Instagram and follow at Behind the Sports Show on Instagram as well. Make sure to also visit our website, sportsovernightamerica.com. That's your Sports Shorts, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The weekend edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern time. And weekend replays, 24/7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League. Presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted, something premium, something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together. And we will start today. Don't ever forget how great it is to be American.
America we need right now.
Soccer season rolls on here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. This is Tyler Levine, host of First Touch, the premier weekly global soccer show across the entire Sports Byline broadcast, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Simple Radio, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. We're talking English Premier League, Champions League, our picks of the week, and a whole lot more. First Touch on Sports Byline USA Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern. See you there.
The Sports Grid Radio Network presents This Date in Sports History.
The 2003 NBA Draft. St. Vincent and St. Mary's small forward LeBron James is the first pick of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
The Cleveland Cavaliers select LeBron James.
LeBron has transformed and grown the game like no other player and is considered the greatest in NBA history. For Sports Grid Radio, I'm Mike Demergis.
Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTSOVERNIGHTAMERICA.
Damas y caballeros, ladies and gentlemen, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, hour number two. Coming to you, of course, on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network from the Sports Byline Studios in the City by the Bay, San Francisco, California. Of course, last night we were blessed, to watch Julio Cesar Chavez and Jake Paul. Of course, they went 10 rounds. I can't believe that they put that on pay-per-view. I thought it was some type of Netflix, get it right, get it free, that kind of good thing if you're a subscriber, but it wasn't. It was on pay-per-view, so I wish them the worst of luck as far as the pay-per-view numbers are concerned because that was total garbage. So the bottom line is Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. should be arrested for impersonating his father. I mean, at one point, the he's the greatest Mexican fighter of all time. He's his kid. And he goes out there and he's got coke problems. He's got insecurity problems. I told you about that time I went to interview him at the LA Forum. I went into the dressing room and he's not around. And I'm saying, hey, what's up with the guy? I'm doing the television there. I said, what's up with the guy? What's up with the guy? Where's he at? Where's he at? Where's he at? And they're going, and they're stumbling around in Mexican. They're stuttering. They said, what's going on? So anyway, then he walks out of the shower with a towel around his waist and some chick with him. So he was banging some chick or getting orally copulated in the shower. That's what he was doing. This is how he prepares for fights. This is Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., a guy that's been suspended not once but twice for drugs and chemicals in his system. But the bottom line is, of course, the Mexicans didn't boo him last night, as they booed him after the fight, of course, when he was saying, he could have done this, he could have done that. He didn't do anything. He didn't throw a punch for like 7 or 8 rounds. He just didn't. I mean, my mother, God rest her soul, I mean, she could crack. My mother could crack. My mother would have done better than he did last night. I mean, that's how terrible it was. And yet, they put this on pay-per-view, and he got several million dollars for that. I'm talking about Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. And, of course, his father had to be like the goodwill ambassador. He had to be there, this and of course, be part of the shtick, the part of the scheme, this and that. And that's just what it was. It was a scheme. It wasn't a dream. It was a scheme. He schemed to con boxing fans out of money, and he did it last night on pay-per-view. And as far as Jake Paul is concerned, man, Jake Paul should be arrested for impersonating a fighter. Listen to this. Lenny Albert, Bomani as I call him, of course, El Animal, Golden Glove champion here locally, guy that worked with me in the stable. But the bottom line is, he said that Jake Paul's come a long way. Come a long way from what? To what? He's nothing. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you get coverage options based on how much you want to pay for car insurance. And then you decide how to spend the rest of your money, because you're in charge. And right now, you're going to pay for groceries. But you decide what groceries. Just keep in mind you're running out of dishwashing soap. But you decide if you're going to buy that soap. It's just those dishes won't clean themselves, will they? Remember, with Progressive's Name Your Price tool, we'll help you find coverage at a fair price. And then, you're in charge. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, airline travelers. Let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
All aboard!
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
Progressive presents advice on new teen drivers.
You know, the hardest part about teaching your teen to drive is the chafing from the seatbelt. But the best part is the grip strength you build in your knuckles. Okay, now let's pull out of the driveway.
Here's another tip. Offset a chunk of the cost of adding a teen to your insurance with Progressive's Teen Driver Discount and get a break from the break. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Joe's gonna come out smoking, and I ain't gonna be joking. I'll be pecking and a poking, pouring water on his smoking. Then this might shock and amaze you, but I will destroy Joe Frazier.
Coming up today on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, we're going back in time. October 2nd, 1980, probably one of the darkest days in boxing history. Larry Holmes taking out Muhammad Ali in 10 rounds. Talk about that and more. We'll go into it was pretty sad. We'll talk about how Ali sort of got, listen, he couldn't pass the medical test. In other words, he couldn't touch his finger to his nose and they gave him a boxing license. Think about that. The Mayo Clinic. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Want to mention the fact that, you know, we're rocking and rolling in Salt Lake City. Let me tell you about Salt Lake City. I fought there once, and I was supposed to have a match against some guy, I think, from some other Wyoming or something like that. Anyway, we both, a lot of us flew into Salt Lake City, like four or five as far as his team was concerned from California, and they didn't give me a fight. I ended up boxing an exhibition. But the bottom line is we are rocking and rolling on 1550 AM. That's SLC Sports Radio in Salt Lake City. I don't want to mention all the people from Utah. Straight up, I had a great time there. And it was a little less stressful boxing an exhibition than it was a real fight. When you're going there for a real fight, you're like spitting bricks all the way on the phone, I mean on the plane on the way over there. You're like, oh God, you're freaking out. Then you get on the ground and they tell you, you know, you're not going to be fighting, you're going to have an exhibition, and so we're trying to get you an exhibition. My mother used to scream, and my mother makes you recipes, but she used to scream because I would, you know, I got a lot of cancellations. Cancellations would happen at the weigh-ins, and of course the weigh-ins would happen at a lot of amateur cards right before the match, and we'd weigh in like at 4 o'clock for a match at 6:30 or 7 o'clock at night. Okay, that's just the way it was, like Miguel's restaurant over there in Hayward, California. That was a hot spot. But the bottom line is, you know, I mean, I would lose all these fights at the weigh-in. The guys wouldn't show up. Remember when Bill Hernandez was supposed to be Hernandez versus Fernandez, and we were going to rock and roll. He was a Golden Glove champion. I was a two-time champion at the time. I think we're going to rock and roll at the Olympic Club. This is a big, famous athletic club here in San Francisco with a bunch of rich folks, this and that, where they sit around. They used to smoke cigars and that kind of good stuff. And then he checked us out. He chickened out at the weigh-in. And he didn't show up for the weigh-in. I mean, imagine, I sweated myself all the way down to 139 pounds. I was like, I didn't eat for almost a day this and that. I remember going through all these changes. And that. So you go through, listen, you know, the physical changes you go through because you're not eating and this kind of stuff, you know, you can deal with that. The hunger pains, they go away after a little while. But the psychological trauma of you're going to be able to fight, you're going to fight, it's just stressful. People don't realize how stressful boxing is. I think Mike Tyson said about it one time. You know, you've got to be stressed and you got to be scared, because I wasn't scared one time when Juan Rodriguez licked me like a stamp. So we'll get into that. Maybe that's a subject for another day. But Oleg Usyk and Danny Dubois on the 19th. Of course, I'm picking Dubois there. I think it's going to be a bit of an upset. I think Oleg Usyk is vastly overrated. He's not really a real heavyweight. We'll see if I'm wrong or not on July the 20th. The bottom line is, of course, he shares that same date with Bam Rodriguez on DAZN. Of course, that fight comes here from Wembley Stadium, the Oleg Usyk-Danny Dubois fight. Bam Rodriguez is going to take on Fuleme Kafu. That's the WBO and WBC 115-pound title. Of course, he is a fighter of, he's got some talent. I think he can draw a little bit, and if you do it the right way, I think eventually he can hook it up with Noah Noy. Of course, September the 12th. Wow, what can I say? Undefeated Terrence Crawford, 41-0, 31 KOs. A guy that's been a champion, 135, 140, 147, and with an asterisk, 140, 154. But the bottom line is, he's moving up a whole lot of weight classes to take on Canelo Alvarez, who's not really a super middleweight, per se. I mean, physically, he's a guy that turned pro at 146 pounds. Now, I realize that was like 15 years ago, but the bottom line is, you don't put on muscle, per se, and you don't get bigger, per se. I mean, the only guy I know that was able to put on muscle or put on weight and be able to take his skills to another level, really, and super excel was Roberto Duran. I mean, come on, man. You saw Canelo a couple weeks ago, a fortnight against William Skull. I mean, he didn't do anything. He couldn't cut off the ring. He looked so amateurish. It was like he was trying to turn in a horrible performance just to get ready for the Crawford fight. And it was like they were both running games on us. Like the last time Crawford fought Madrinoff or something like that, right? He didn't look all that good. Some people thought it was a draw. People thought maybe the other guy might have won by a point. Bottom line is, I thought that Crawford did win. But the bottom line is, he didn't look stellar, okay? And neither did Canelo. So we've got two guys going into this fight on September the 12th, of course, the biggest fight of the year, no doubt about that, and they both haven't looked good in a long time. So what's up with that? I mean, come on, guys. 141-0, 31 KOs, 63-2-2. Is Canelo Alvarez, of course, and he, as I said, turned pro at 146, now at 168 pounds. He's talking about retiring this week. He issued a statement saying that, I've done all I can, I've done all I want to do, I've done, you know, different weight classes. And we heard earlier from the hour number one of Paulie Malignaggi talk about it being the biggest duck in the history of boxing. So I don't know what, listen, Canelo Alvarez, the Mexican boxing fans aren't the same anymore. They didn't dog Chavez Jr. last night. I mean, they should have been, he didn't throw a punch. I think somebody said he threw a punch about the fourth round. Oh, there's a punch. He threw a punch. I mean, that's how he wasn't throwing any punches. He was non-existent. I mean, come on. Those guys had a hard time there trying to commentate on that fight. And Antonio Tarver keeps getting worse. He should, like, give it up. I think his brains are scrambled. Of course, the former light heavyweight champion of the world. Of course, the man that knocked out Roy Jones was pretty good. Now, when he told Roy Jones, hey, Roy, you got any more excuses? He went out there and knocked Roy out in the second round with one punch straight up. That was Tarver then. Tarver now is like mush mouth. Okay, mush mouth. No doubt about that. Now, Shakur Stevenson. Who? Shakur Stevenson. Of course, his birthday was yesterday, I believe. Of course, Shakur Stevenson, born on June 28th, 1997 in Newark, New Jersey. Of course, the native of Newark. And of course, he draws real well in Newark, but he lives in Oklahoma or Mississippi or something like that because he got in too much trouble in the hood. Yeah, he figured he'd get shot, get killed, no doubt about that. July the 11th, that's the big fight coming up. All-female card, of course, Madison Square Garden on Netflix. You don't have to have pay-per-view for this one. But Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano going the third time. You know, this should be like the heist at the Garden. That's what it should be called, because I think Amanda Serrano wasn't robbed twice. She was heisted. I mean, I thought they were like, they took a gun and they took the fight away from her both times. And in both instances, Katie Taylor had three hands. I'm talking about that head. But in fact, I think her head for Buddy. And the last fight was the referee was John Shirley. He was the guy that I grew up with. He was one of my good friends growing up with her. Right? And I saw him on TV doing that thing. And he called Katie Taylor after Katie Taylor kept butting this girl. She kept telling her, you're better than that. You're better than that. Say what? You've got a referee going over there and telling somebody in the corner, you're better than Buddy? Instead of taking away points, you're talking to the girl? telling her she's better than the boxing Gesundheit. But the bottom line is, you know, at the end of the day, I thought Katie Taylor was the benefit of some horrendous judging, not once but twice. Now, they're going to hook it up the third time, an all-female card, as I said, on Netflix, July the 11th. I'm not too high on this one because I think that Amanda Serrano's coming back too soon. What, they fought last in February, something like that. But the bottom line is, that cut that opened up underneath her eye, you could see her skull bone. I mean, the impeccable one, I remember him telling me the very next day, I saw her skull sticking through the cut. You see the whiteness of her bone down there. I mean, that was pretty ugly. So I don't think she should be fighting anytime soon. But they should, you know, like 6 to 8 months, maybe 9 months to take off. But that ain't going to happen because this money is a big money fight, Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano. Now, here's hoping Katie Taylor gets her beat. No doubt about it. The undisputed female junior welterweight title is 140 pounds. The Puerto Rican disappointment. They call him with the problem, something like that. No, not really. He's not a problem. He's very disappointing. I'm talking about Edgar Berlang. Of course, when he last appeared on the big stage against Canelo Alvarez, he did basically nothing. I mean, he didn't even try. I thought that he just didn't try. He's taking on Hamza Shiraz, who is the Sheik's fighter, Sheik Turkey Jerky, the guy that runs the thing over there in Saudi Arabia, of course. And they want to talk about putting this fight in a 16-foot ring. Of course, to talk about Shakur Stevenson and Williams Zepeda fighter. Any fights involving Devin Haney, I think the Sheik said he wants to put in 16-foot rings because he runs too much. But the bottom line is, if you put Berlanga in a 16-foot ring with your fighter, with the Sheik's fighter, Hamza Shiraz, Shiraz's going to get destroyed. I mean, absolutely destroyed. If you push Berlanga, he can punch. You've got to push him. You've got to challenge him. You've got to fire him up inside, as my phone just rings here. But the bottom line is, you got to fire him up inside. And sometimes Berlanga doesn't get fired up. What I'm trying to tell you is, I think he's a bit overrated. To begin with, he's a big puncher early on. He was knocking everybody out one or two rounds, like 16-0, 16 knockouts, and he ran on some decisions. But the bottom line is, Hamza Shiraz was gifted in his last fight. I think he got a draw. He can't fight much, but the bottom line is, Berlanga should win that one. Of course, Usyk and Dubois, as I said again, I'm picking Dubois. Let's go to an early break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, and the American Forces Network, as well as Twitch.tv and Sports Byline USA channel.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one?
Did you know there are realtors who'll sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Little Tower of Power coming back from the break. Check them out, towerofpower.com. They appeared, I think, Thursday night in Pleasanton, California. Of course, at the fairgrounds where I won the Menudo Festival back a long, long time ago. Bottom line is I boxed the main event that night. Of course, that afternoon, they decided I wasn't going to fight. That was one of the ones when the guy didn't show up at the weigh-in. I think the weigh-in was the day before. But the guy didn't show up for the weigh-in, so I wasn't going to fight that day. So I went and spent some time with my girlfriend that night before, you know, and had a couple of pops. And God knows what I've done. Anyway, I show up at the arena the next day to bring Lenny Albert there to fight. And they tell me, guess what? We need you in the main event. I said, nah. He goes, oh, he's a bum, Pete. He's a bum. Don't worry about him. He's a bum. Don't worry, he's a bum. I said, really? He turned out to be the 156-pound Army champion. And he was, I'm 139 pounder. So you can imagine the size difference. It was like, it was David against Goliath. He was huge. Anyway, I cut him up in the second round with a slight cut. I jumped to the referee and said, he's cut. And they stopped the fight. Of course, I got out of there. Had I not got out of there, I think I would have not made it into the third round because I was like an asthmatic. Straight up, let's talk about October 2nd, 1980. Of course, let's talk about the day that Larry Holmes, of course, defended the heavyweight championship, the WBC version, against Muhammad Ali. The undercard, I was there. Of course, let me tell you about this. The Mardi Gras Hotel, this was our first trip to Vegas. I think we had arrived, Hector, myself, and my cousin John Lutz arrived like October the 1st, 1980. And it was, you know, I mean, it was our first trip to Vegas. We were rookies, no doubt about that. We were like freaking out. We're sitting at the Mardi Gras Hotel or motel that's off strip on Paradise Road. If that place could tell stories, I'd be in trouble. But the bottom line is, you know, I mean, it was our first trip to Vegas. We were enamored with Las Vegas. Well, this was crazy, man. They hold in this fight in an outdoor arena on the Caesars Palace tennis courts. They put up like these bleachers, isn't it? Like hold 15,000 people. Anyway, the undercard, Lonnie Smith, the future world champion out of Colorado. Out of Colorado. Of course, he beat Danny Cruz. And, of course, also on the card, Mark Holmes, the brother of Larry Holmes, went to 3-0 with a decision over Randy Irvin. Now, Mark Holmes would finish his career, I think, at 38-1 with 17 knockouts, but he was stopped one time. He was stopped by John Collins in 1985. That was a TKO, too. So Larry Holmes' brother won that night, but eventually he wasn't that good. Anyway, I mean, he fought a lot of stiffs, fought a lot of guys like me in the impeccable one, the guys that could roll over like bowling pins. Of course, also on that same card, Michael Doakes. Man, Michael Doakes was a waste of a human being. There's no doubt about that in my mind. I mean, he was a great amateur, no doubt about that. I mean, he was a stellar fighter. I mean, he could fight as an amateur. He was a small heavyweight, smallish. But the bottom line is, he beat a guy named Tom Fisher in the KO with 7 rounds. Fisher coming in at 29-4 was a bit of a setup fight for Doakes. But Doakes, of course, would have some coke problems later on. I told you how he sexually assaulted a girlfriend of mine in an elevator in Los Angeles. And had she told me about it right away, I think me and him would have went to blows. But the bottom line is Michael Doakes was a piece of work. He ended up dying with Alzheimer's, this and that, or pugilistic dementia. I didn't feel sorry for him, not a little bit. Leon Spinks was on the card. Of course, he won a TKO in 9 over Bernardo Mercado of the South America. And Saul Mambi, one of my guys that I sparred with at the Times Square Gym in New York City, and then the WBC 140-pound champion, beat Maurice Termite Watkins. Now, the main event is set. Muhammad Ali and Larry Holmes going to hook it up for the World Heavyweight Championship. Ali hasn't fought in about a year and a half. He's 30 years old. What happens here?
If this was a Broadway play, they would review it as a tragedy.
Oh, that right hurt Ali. Oh, he's taking a pounder.
This fight was an abomination. Was a crime.
It is sad to see this.
All of the people involved in this fight should have been arrested. Crime, been arrested.
In 1980, Ali announces that he is coming back. Again, he wants to fight for the title, currently held by Larry Holmes.
I shall return. I will regain it on the third.
Is there any question as to why Ali fell apart? Not if you're around looking at him. Not if you saw him every day talking slower, walking slower, moving slower, punching less. You could see him falling apart. After the thrill in Manila, said to him, that's your last fight. You keep on fighting and you're going to go right into the grave. He said, no, I know, I got to stop. I want to stop. And he didn't.
What is it that motivates a retired champion to come back?
To be champion again. That's what motivates you, to be champion. And once you've been there, it's something to be sitting in that thing, you know? That's what motivates you, to be champion again. And I think that's what Ali's thinking about.
After every fight, I said, that's another one. You're walking slower. You're mumbling now. And he could see it, and he knew it. It wasn't that nobody told him. The flunkies around him didn't tell him because they need the money.
What do you think you do with Muhammad Ali? If you
Muhammad Ali is no question about Muhammad Ali anymore. There are no more Muhammad Ali. There's only one, Larry Holmes. Muhammad Ali has seen the bright side, now he's on the dark side.
Legends die hard. Oh, he's ready to go.
But he wouldn't go down because he's Ali.
This must be stopped. It is a sad way to end.
The more years go by, the less people feel indignant about it. The less people say, oh, well, it was a fight. The fight game is not dirty. I mean, oh, well. Oh, well, hell.
Ali gets to his feet ever so slow for the 10th round. His left
eye. You can see when Ali fought Holmes, he was shot. He wasn't the same fighter in any way, shape, or form that he had been in the years previous.
I was almost afraid to hit him in the body because I was in the camp with him many times. When he went to the bathroom, the word was he's urinating blood. And I didn't want to do that to him.
For all his life, all he heard was he was a shadow of Ali. Oh, well, they took a guy when he was down on his knees and pounded him the rest of the way.
Champion of all champions, Ali will fall. He won't go 8 rounds, I predict it. Ali will fall. The old man is in serious trouble.
Before the Nevada State Athletic Commission licensed Ali to fight, they asked him to go to the Mayo Clinic for a full report. That report said that when Ali tried to touch his finger to his nose, there was a slight degree of missing the target. He couldn't hop with the agility that the doctors expected he would.
By 1980, Larry Holmes was the best heavyweight and possibly the best boxer in the world. But a cloud hovered over him. To the public, Muhammad Ali was the only heavyweight who truly mattered. And whatever Larry Holmes did, he would never be Ali. It was no longer enough for Holmes to be heavyweight champion. To silence his critics and gain the public recognition he craved, Holmes would have to conquer the greatest.
He had trouble coordinating the muscles he used in speech. This is before he fought Larry Holmes.
They discovered there was an abnormality in Ali's brain.
No, they didn't. They said the only thing that they could find with Ali, they said he doesn't have recall. You know, he's short-term deficit. He doesn't have the recall.
Short-term memory.
Got to give me my Jeff dues on the fight. It's a Holmes-Ali fight. It's not an Ali-Holmes fight. It's Holmes-Ali. And Ali had his day. This is my day. I say Ali used to float like a butterfly. He used to sting like a bee. But when he fight Larry Holmes, he'll fall in round 3.
And the Nevada State Athletic Commission licensed him to fight on the basis of that report, which the commission never made public.
There was a man who had lost 30 pounds, who looked sleek. Everybody was caught up in the fact that it was Ali, and if he looked this good,
how could he lose?
Yes.
I'm going to fall in 3.
You was crazy. You slapped me.
That's just the beginning of what you're going to get. You ain't knocked nobody out in 76, and you say you're going to knock me out. I ain't never been out. 35 fights.
I'm going to knock you out, and you're scared of me. You know you're meeting your master.
I swear to God. I'm knocking you out.
Knock me out.
2 weeks before the fight, a doctor shows up. He's going to inject him. What does this do? This gives you a lot of strength. I say, Ali, we don't need this stuff.
Dr. Charles Williams decided, just on the basis of observing that Ali was overweight, that he had a thyroid condition. And so he started prescribing Thyrolar.
You are my sparring partner, remember that. You are my sparring partner. And you, and listen, I'm superior. I'm the world's greatest.
No, wait a minute, y'all ain't gonna get it. We're gonna get paid for this.
What fighter in the history of the damn world has ever taken thyroid pills before a fight? That's like taking the wheels off of an Indianapolis Speedway racer and racing without tires. The muscle you use to fight is burned up by thyroid pills. Already his kidneys are shot. Now you're giving him stuff that makes his kidneys work harder.
I had a very difficult time at first when I signed the fight for Muhammad Ali because he was a legend. And nobody wanted to see this guy get beat. And a lot of people in the boxing business and the media business knew that my chances was 90% chances that I would win the fight.
Ali treated the Thyrolar tablets like diet pills, and instead of taking one a day, he took three a day.
I used to come in the room, and he'd have maybe 10, 15, or 25 pills he's taking. I said, what's all this? It's my vitamin. It's my vitamin.
I see him pop every day. Plump, you know.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling ready. I'm down to 218 pounds.
I thought he was taking vitamins. It was thyroid pills. I didn't know.
Muhammad was in the best shape of his life. He couldn't be better, trained properly. He got to look like the young Muhammad Ali, the physique, the big shoulders. I couldn't understand it, you know, and afterward, naturally, I found out he was taking thyroid pills.
Oh, he's ready to go. This must be stopped.
In the ninth round, when Larry hit him with that right cross to the stomach,
he yelled,
and I said, oh, my God.
Holmes looked back at the referee a couple of times, wanted him to stop it. He wouldn't.
You want me to continue to beat this guy? You want me to kill him? Is that what you want?
When Holmes had him in front of me, it was like hitting a slow-moving heavy bag. A heavy bag that once had skills, but the run was over.
Wow, what can I say? I was there that night. It was unbelievably depressing. It was like I went back and I cried at my hotel, the Mardi Gras Hotel, if the hotel could talk. Yeah, I was crying that night. I just couldn't believe it. I mean, he got blown out the water. Of course, didn't win a second of a round. Of course, got knocked around. Didn't get knocked down, but the bottom line is he got the spit beat out of a spit with an ace. Coming up next, an interview I did a couple of weeks ago with Mark Kriegel. Of course, Mike Tyson, the baddest man on the planet. We'll talk about his book and more coming up on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. book a selected hotel, and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both, airline and hotel, with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. That's 800-401-5163.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The baddest man on the planet, Mike Tyson, of course. The Making of Mike Tyson, that's a new book out by Mark Kregel. We are joined by Mark Kregel. Come to us, I believe, from Santa Monica, California. You live in Santa Monica, sir?
I do. I grew up in New York City, where I am now.
Okay. When you were in Santa Monica, did you ever see Whitey Bulger?
Not that I know of, man. I would have gone out for a beer with him.
Here's what's up. I don't know if you know this, but the retired HBO godfather, Larry Merchant, was going to Whitey Bulger's building once a week and visiting somebody, and he did this for like several years, and he never saw Whitey. So I asked him and his wife, I said, you were going in there once or twice a week, you never saw Whitey Bulger? And they pointed at each other.
How would he know? How would Larry know what Whitey looked like?
Yeah, that's a good point. But the bottom line is, you know, Whitey.
How come Whitey didn't say hello to Larry? I saw Larry yesterday before I left, Friday, I think.
He's wonderful to be around. I'm going to go down and visit him again in the next couple of weeks. Of course,
we go out to dinner. We go out to lunch every couple Fridays.
Yeah, well, you're lucky. You're very fortunate. In fact, not a whole lot of people get to spend time with him. You know, he and I go back 41 years now. Of course, I think the night that we met was the Hagler-Hearns fight when he ran up to me. He just ran up to me out of the blue and said, could you believe what just happened? I mean, that began our relationship. We've been tight since, of course. And his wife, Patricia Merchant, may she rest in peace, the godmama. She passed away about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. Of course, they scattered her ashes in Hawaii. So she's happy and the godfather's content. And I hope to see him in the next couple of weeks. But to spend time around him is just invaluable. You can't put a price on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's talk about your book, Mike Tyson. Talk to me about it. You wrote these other books. I got to give you props on these other books, first of all. The Life of Pete Maravich, a biography pistol. Man, he was an amazing athlete. In fact, he might have been one of the pound-for-pound, maybe the best player pound-for-pound. Who knows? Maybe better than Michael Jordan. And The Good Son, The Life of Ray Boom Boom Mancini. Of course, The Bad Son was Lenny Mancini, I believe, of course. And, of course, we mentioned the Whitey Bulger thing. But now the Mike Tyson book. I'm holding it here. Baddest Man, The Making of Mike Tyson. Talk to me about that. What compelled you to write this book?
Well, first thing was I owed the publisher money, and I did not want to do a Tyson biography. Probably the last thing I would have done. I was actually thinking of places I'd rather drive a nail through my body than revisit all the crap I wrote about Tyson in the 90s and covering him. It was not first on my list, and I had actually torn a hamstring, and I was a little over-medicated at the time. And the publisher calls and says, hey, you know, you owe us money. A friend of mine says, you can't give money back. It's your duty as a writer not to give money back.
Never.
I tried to figure out a way in all seriousness that I could write about Tyson or my experiences covering Tyson without writing a full biography. A biography is a pretty labor-intensive endeavor. And I asked him, well, can I do some kind of like essay type piece
He says, yeah, sure, whatever you want. Lo and behold, Tyson generates so much damn story that the book became fatter and fuller, and it required more and more context. And, you know, I guess a couple of years later, I sat down with the editor, was pretty happy with the book. I said, hey, I'm glad you're happy. We got about like 80,000 words here, and Tyson's still like, I don't know, about 16 years old. What the hell do you want to do? This is not a little skinny, elegant book. And he says, is there a place where you can cut it to do a two-volume book? I said, of course. The first thing I told him when he broached the subject, absolutely not. But in fact, here we are. It's a two-volume book now. We're supposed to be. And it ends at the Sphinx fight, which I don't know about you, but to me, that's the obvious break and the high point of his professional career.
I watched that fight from the last row of the Atlantic City Convention Center with a pair of binoculars. I was part of the press crew back then. They set up these kitchen chairs, and they were all green chairs.
Right.
And they set these kitchen chairs up after the last row in the convention center. I kid you not. And they put me in this last row. It was my first trip to Atlantic City. I couldn't say nothing. Couldn't talk any smack. Anyway, the bottom line is I'm tuning in the binoculars, and bomb, the fight's over.
Mm-hmm. 91 seconds. But, I mean, what people forget with that, and I know you played the clip of him and Robin, or him talking about Robin before, but, you know, I didn't realize at the time. I was a kid. I was, like, covering cops and courts. My first Tyson assignment was actually a city editor waking me up in the middle of the night, telling me to run up to Harlem. He just got into a fight with Mitch Green and Dapper Dan's. But what I didn't really understand at the time is that this is a guy, a 21-year-old kid, who's basically, I don't mean this in the clinical sense, but being torn apart, having a kind of breakdown. And I was not particularly charitable to Tyson. As a matter of fact, I wasn't charitable to Tyson at all when I was writing a column in New York. I think differently of it now. I mean, his wife, the mother, her sister had gone to the papers about a week to go before what was then a fight of the century, saying that he was drinking too much and he was violent. Putting aside the allegations right then, I mean, the kid's breaking down in crying spells in the weeks leading up to the fight. And underneath all the apparent ferocity was this young kid who, you know, nothing can really prepare you for a fight kind of like that. And also, if you remember, like, Michael Spinks wasn't a chump.
No.
He had handled Larry Holmes. He had just completely done away with Cooney. He was undefeated. He'd overcome an awful lot in life. He knew what he was doing in the ring. But to put him out in 91 seconds, I mean, you know, that exceeded, even for Tyson, people were accustomed to seeing those early spectacular knockouts, even for Tyson.
It
crystallized the notion of him, not just in America, but around the world.
It took 2 seconds more to make a believer out of Carl the Truth Williams, or make a liar out of Carl the Truth Williams, than it did to make a believer out of Michael Spinks. When he had that last fight with Carl Williams, and I was there, this and he blew him out, there's no doubt about that. We had the big party afterwards, and this and that. Was that the end? I mean, do you think he ever got it together after that point in his career?
I think the high point for him, and I think that he'd agree with this too. He said it before. The high point for him physically was actually Burbick.
Okay.
And Burbick was big and strong, and he did him, I think, what is it, like two or three rounds?
Two rounds, something like that.
Yeah, but he does that. He falls like in each corner of the ring. He says it was Burbick. I think it was Spinks because of
the
pressure and the magnitude of the fight. It's an interesting thing. You remember Rock Newman?
Sure. Rock Newman, right mouthpiece.
But I always think he did a great job with Bo. But he was working for he's working for Butch Lewis at the time,
right.
The kind of spokesperson. Mm-hmm. Okay, so one of the things he remembers that the Tyson camp was really, and HBO were furious at Butch Lewis and Spinks for leaving the HBO unification tournament, which was all of it was organized around Tyson. You got to remember, like, a decade before Tony Soprano,
that's what
Tyson did for HBO. His economic impact on the rise of that network can't be underestimated, which is, you know, they built something here that will never be duplicated in terms of its financial impact.
I remember the old days when Uncle Seth Abraham ran the show there at HBO, and he was good to me. What was your relationship with him like?
My relationship with him was great. If you check out the book, you'll see Seth has an awful lot to say, and I think most of it's really, really smart.
You know,
but what I was saying though at the time about Rock Newman, they didn't want, you know, the Butch Lewis and Spinks. I think they pulled out of the fight. They pulled out of the tournament in some measure because they could make easier money with Cooney.
Mm-hmm.
And because at some level they really, I spoke to Spinks, I wasn't really dying to fight Mike. You know, Mike was funny in that the enormity of fear he struck in professional fighters, guys who were seasoned. So what Rock Newman did, he had a mole in the Tyson camp, okay, and they would know. Wherever Tyson showed up at, like, you know, clubs, bars, whatever it was. And they always had a bunch of guys, and in some cases, girls, telling them, yo, you scared, you know, you're an X, you're a Y, you're a Z, you're a this, you're a that. You scared of Spinks, you know it. And it drove Mike crazy. And finally, Tyson went to the late Jimmy Jacobs and said, you better make this fight. And that's how the damn fight happened, because Tyson couldn't stand hearing that anymore.
Okay. I got a question for you, and this may be a little off the wall or off subject. Were Custy Amato and Jim Jacobs gay together? They lived in the studio apartment together for like 10 years.
I don't know. I mean,
I just thought I'd throw it at you. I mean, you're the guy. You're the iconic author.
I don't know. I wasn't there in the studio apartment. I mean, I do address. I do address in part the issue of Cuss's sexuality in this. And I mean, you got to read. You're going to have to go through the book.
I've got the book, and I'm reading it now. Yeah. I started the book, man. Believe me, I hope to have this book done in a week.
No. But. I mean, look, I don't know. I mean, but hold up. You asked me a question though. Jimmy was married. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't in there with either of them. I think what Cuss really cared about, and I'm not dodging the question because I have the same, you know, I have similar questions. You have to look at how I dealt with it in the book, and it is sort of ambiguous. But I don't think Cuss cared about anything so much as being immortal.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the things he was asking Mike as a kid is, it wasn't just about, you know, when you get a young kid, maybe you get him out of lockup or you get him off the street, you say, hey kid, you know, we're going to turn you pro one day, we're going to see what you got, we'll put you in the gloves, maybe we'll get you a GED, straighten out your life. It was none of that with Tyson. From the beginning, it was about being the best and the youngest of all time, which is an extraordinary pressure to put on a kid. And maybe it was commensurate with his talent. But I also think at some level, what Cuss was asking Mike to do was make me live forever. And we always talk about the fighter's ego. And like to be a fighter, you need a crazy ego from the jump. Just to go up the stairs, go in there basically naked and fight in front of people. But in large measure, what this story is about is the ego of the trainer. And I think that, you know, Cuss is in many ways his creator.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also asking, he's driving a really hard bargain with that kid, which is make me live forever. Now, Tyson, when I spoke to him about this, you know, he pushed back on it because I think he feels this enormous debt to Cuss, as well he should, but his response is, you know, I tell him, I said, you know, I'm not sure that's really the healthiest thing to do. You take a 13-year-old kid out of lockup, and you put him under hypnosis. You tell him he's discouraged from God. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, you talk about immortality, because as long as people know my name, they're going to know his, too. Didn't I make him immortal? And the answer is, yes, he did.
Wow. The book is called Baddest Man, The Making of Mike Tyson. Mark Kriegel is the author. We thank you so much for your time, young man. And if you ever want to come back here, believe me, you have an open invitation week in and week out. You know, in 1984, I was at the Olympic training camp in Colorado Springs. Of course, I finished 13th in the country that year at 139 pounds. But the bottom line is, I saw Michael Nunn talk down Mike Tyson. You ever heard that story?
Oh, is that right? No, I didn't, man.
All right, so here's a little bit.
I'm dying to hear it, Pedro. Okay. Yeah.
All right, we're all sitting in the hot tub, and Pernell Whitaker, all these guys were sitting in the hot tub there in Atlantic City. It was shaped like a boxing glove, sort of like a teardrop. Something like it was a big old hot tub, like a swimming pool. Anyway, Mike, we're going back and forth, and he's black. I'm just there. I'm the only non-black guy there. I'm 23% black. Puerto Rican don't count. But the bottom line is, I'm like sitting there, and I'm in all these guys, and they're going back and forth, and they're capping on each other like, your mama did this, your mama did that. And then Mike said something like, I knew your mama when she was hoeing to Michael Nunn. And Michael Nunn stood up in the hot tub, walked across the tub, and said, MF, get your ass up. And Mike froze and didn't do anything. So I think Mike realized he had stepped across the line there. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. It's a hell of a story. I believe you, but it's a hell of a story. Never heard that one before, Pedro.
Well, listen.
I should have called you, man. That's one interview I didn't get that I should have.
Nah, I'm just an old guy. Bottom line is, you know, that was my era in 1984. Of course, finishing 13th in the country was an honor, no doubt about it.
I got a question. Were you there the day that him and Holyfield got into it?
No.
At the pool table?
No. I tell you, one good old Holyfield told me one morning I was bitching about the food, right? He said to me, be glad you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he didn't say nothing else. Be glad you're eating. That was the first thing he ever uttered to me, because I was bitching about the food.
Because the funny thing with him is that even when Mike was scaring everybody,
he wasn't.
He did not scare Evander.
You know what?
I mean, you know, Evander could not be bullied.
No, he couldn't, no doubt about that. But then again, I got to say that, you know, Evander had his, Evander took his share of Flintstone vitamins, so that might have played a part as well. That's the subject for another day. Anyway, listen, I thank you so much for your time. I feel honored that you came on my show. Baddest Man, The Making of Mike Tyson, Mark Kriegel. You can get you to Amazon. Where else can you get it? Everywhere?
I hope so.
Okay. Well, I wish
comes
you the best.
Out, comes out, I think, tomorrow, the next, June 3rd.
Okay.
Well, you can get on Amazon now. Okay. All right?
I wish you the very best of luck, man. If you ever want to come back here, you have an open invitation anytime.
Hey, Joe, be my pleasure, man. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. The great Mark Kriegel of ESPN fame, of course, is the author of The Baddest Man, The Making of Mike Tyson, coming out June 3rd, of course, on Amazon. Order right now. Straight up, this is Ring Talk.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Are you tired of making trip after trip on doctor visits only to get wrong medications that waste time, money, and cause you side effects? If you're on Medicare, call for a free medical assessment and determine which medications are right for you based on your genetic makeup with our convenient swab test performed in your home and mailed to our laboratory. No more trial and error. The results will tell you and your doctor which medications you don't need and identify more appropriate replacements. If you're on Medicare and take multiple medications, call now for our genetic testing service at little or no cost to you. It starts with a call for a free medical assessment and evaluation of your Medicare coverage. Make this free call right now.
800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. That's 800-948-6814.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Got to wrap things up, folks. Ran the commercial break a little bit too long. Want to thank Mark Kriegel. Want to thank everybody. Don't forget, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Saturday and Sunday, these same channels, 11 a.m. Pacific time. Till next time, the impeccable one is impeccable.